let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 8. I'm mindful that we've got a baptism service after this, and so I'm going to preach along that vein. Acts chapter 8 and verse 30, and we're going to read down to verse 36. If I could have the slides on the fallback as well, that'd be great. Acts chapter 8, verses 30 through to verse 36. Now, Philip had been preaching in Samaria and having a great revival, and God called him to go somewhere else into the desert. And he goes there and he meets somebody, and the Bible says, and Philip ran thither to him. This is the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, he could hear him reading his Bible. He said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, well, how can I understand except somebody should guide me or teach me or explain it to me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. He said, come, hop in my chariot. The place of the scripture which he read was this. And then we're reading, this is the portion of scripture that he was reading. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. He's reading about Jesus' crucifixion. And the Bible says in verse 33, in his humiliation, everybody say humiliation. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. In other words, Jesus was humiliated. His judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said to him, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? What is this scripture about, of himself or some other man? He said, who is Isaiah speaking about? Is he speaking about himself or somebody else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. Everyone say the same scripture. And preached unto him Jesus. That's the beauty of the scriptures. I love it that you can open the Bible anywhere and you can preach Jesus from there. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And when he got done, or when he was preaching Jesus to him, and as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He must have preached a good message. But I know one thing that he did preach. He preached Jesus. And the eunuch's response was, when they went past a little pool of water or whatever it was, a pond or a dam or a river, he said, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? I want to be baptized now. And so the book of Acts is the birth of Christianity. And there are references to the cross all the way through the book of Acts. Because without the cross, there is no Christianity. Without the cross, we have nothing. And so Philip preached the cross. He preached Jesus, dead, buried, rose again. And it resulted in this eunuch wanting to be baptized straight away. Everyone say straight away. And so one thing, before we pray, let me tell you, I believe that in the Bible, you don't read anywhere where there were delayed baptisms. You don't read that they put all the baptisms off to the end of the year and then had one great big baptism service. No, we see here that whenever they saw the need, they found whatever water they could and they got baptized. Amen. I want to preach today on this thought, glorious humiliation. Glorious humiliation. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the cross today. We thank you for your name. We thank you for salvation. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house and for our sister, Polly, who will be baptized today. Lord, we pray, let this be the beginning of a transformation. And for us, Lord God, that have already been baptized, give us a fresh revelation, Lord, a fresh passion, a fresh vision. Lord, for those that haven't been baptized yet, Lord, I pray you would move on their hearts to be obedient to the scriptures in this way. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. You may be seated. Glorious humiliation. Glorious humiliation. If you missed the 9:15 service, I spoke on the treasure of darkness. And I said in that service that it's very hard to put the two words together, treasure and darkness, because the two don't seem to go together. And similarly, in this 11:15 service, I'm speaking about glorious humiliation. How could the word glorious go with the word humiliation? Now, the reason Jesus came to die on the cross for us is because we had lost our way. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And sin had come into the world. Sin came when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And if you want to know what sin is simply to disobey God's word. That is it in its most simple explanation, to disobey God's word. And so when God told them his word, he gave them the word, he said, don't go and touch that tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch it. The only thing stopping them from touching it was that God said not to. There wasn't a fence around it. There wasn't a moat around it. They didn't have guard dogs protecting the tree. The only thing stopping Adam and Eve going to the tree was that God had told them not to. And so when they went against God's word, they sinned. And so right there in the book of Genesis, we have the essence of sin, and that is to disobey God's word. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 22 to 25. It says here about the creation of the woman. God created man in his own image. He created him out of the dust of the ground. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. You see, sin hadn't come into the world. They were unclothed at that time, and there was no shame. And those words, it says, and they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed. It's words that just jump out at me, because I've had nightmares of going to school with no clothes on. You know, has anyone ever had a nightmare like that, like you forgot to get dressed or something like that? And it's a very shameful thing to not be dressed, especially to be naked. And so he jumped out at me, it says, and they were both naked and they were not ashamed. And so this verse here in verse 25 gives us a clue to the condition of humanity prior to sin, prior to the misery of sin. Okay, before sin came into the world, they were naked and they were not ashamed. In fact, there's more. The lamb and the lion laid down together. There was no destruction. And so before sin came into the world, there was no shame. There was no embarrassment. There was no humiliation, and that experience of humiliation was completely unknown. It was foreign to the human race. They were not ashamed. However, when sin came into the world, with the first experience of sin, came the awful burden of the weight of personal shame and embarrassment. When sin came into the world, they realized that they were naked and they were embarrassed. So they ran and they tried to cover themselves with whatever they could find. And at first it was fig leaves. And God said, that's not enough. And so shame came into the world. They realized that they were naked. They were embarrassed. They experienced personal shame, humiliation. You see, we could talk about shame, but the worst kind of shame is more dreadful than in just embarrassment, but the worst kind of shame results in complete and utter humiliation. Maybe you've been humiliated before. Not just embarrassed, not just shamed, but humiliated. Humiliation doesn't just bring a red face when you're embarrassed, you know, when you go red, but when you're humiliated, that sense of despair, that feeling like you've lost your dignity, it feels like your reputation has been ruined. You are completely humiliated. Everyone say humiliated. It's not a very nice feeling at all, is it? But the Bible says that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading a portion of scripture, and it said, in his humiliation, as Jesus was humiliated, he didn't just die on the cross. He wasn't just bruised and wounded. His blood wasn't just shed. The best word to describe what happened to Jesus is that he was completely humiliated there on the cross. And there is Jesus, God in flesh. First of all, he had humbled himself. He became obedient to the cross. Let's read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He robed himself in flesh. He came, the God of creation, robed in flesh. The Bible says God was manifest in the flesh. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 says, and made himself of no reputation. The great God of heaven made himself of no reputation. He stepped down to where we are and took upon him the form of a servant. We should be serving him, but here he is taking on the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of Christ, of the cross. You see, Christianity is the only major religion in the world that has its central event hinging on the humiliation of its God. When you think about the cross as a symbol of Christianity, it's not just a symbol, but that cross is a picture of the humiliation and everything that Jesus went through for us. You see, throughout times and throughout the ages, many people have set themselves up to be God. But in Christianity, God became man. You know, a lot of men want to be God. A lot of men say they are God, but our God became a man. And there he is crucified on the cross. As low as one could go, especially the way that he got there. Some false charges marched from court to court. They knew that he was an innocent man. Pilate says, well, do you want Jesus or Barabbas? Jesus was an innocent man who did no wrong. Barabbas was a murderer. He was a thief, he was a robber, a murderer, all of those things. And Pilate said to the crowd, do you want Jesus or should we let Barabbas go? Which one should we let go? And the crowd said, we want Barabbas. The Bible tells us that he was a notorious criminal. And you know, there was a choice that day. It was their decision. And Pilate gave into the crowd and they released Barabbas, that murderer. And you know, we all have to make a choice one day. I know at the cross they had to make a choice, Jesus or Barabbas, but you must also make a choice. Choose you this day who you will serve. You got to make a choice to live for Jesus. Think long and hard before you make your decision to choose Barabbas, because Barabbas represents all of the carnality, all of the sinful things in the world. It's a choice for us still today. Will you choose Jesus or will you choose the world? Will you choose his ways or will you choose the world's ways? And so we need to make a decision. We need to make a decision every day. I choose Jesus. I cannot choose this world. And so I ask you a question, a very pointed question. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, when it comes to salvation, there are some things that we must do. Everyone say must. It's more than faith alone. There are some things that we must do. And we see it unfolding all the way through the scriptures, that God doesn't just require some mental assent in our mind, some mental belief, but he requires obedience. And we see it right at the beginning when the flood was coming and God told Noah to prepare an ark. And God told Noah the specifics on how to build an ark. Now, Noah's faith was not enough to save him there. He had to be obedient and had to build the ark. If he did not build the ark, there would be no salvation. We see it in the tabernacle plan. To go into the Holy of Holies, there's some things they had to do. They had to go and sacrifice at the brazen altar. They had to wash at the laver of water. All of those things you see it time and time again. And then in the first day of the New Testament church, the crowd responded when the gospel was preached. They said, "What must we do? What must we do?" And then Peter told them, "Repent, turn from your sin, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." We have Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night. He says, "We know that you are a teacher come from God." And Jesus told him what you must do. "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And then Nicodemus said, "Well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he go a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "No, except you be born of water and of spirit." You see, if we want to be saved, there's some things that we must do. Everyone say must. And so, back in the beginning in Genesis 2, there was no shame. When they sinned, shame came in to the world. They partook of the fruit, and that day, just like God had told them, he said, "The day you eat thereof, you will die." Everyone say die. They sinned, and the wages of sin is death. And so they partook of the fruit, and that day they died. But they lived another 900 years still. Was God lying? No, of course God doesn't lie, but they spiritually died. They died spiritually. They were separated from God. And if you have allowed sin to separate you from God, you are spiritually dead. And that's why when we are born again, or when we repent of our sin, we are then raised to life again, because life comes again into our spirit and our relationship with God is restored. Somebody say amen. And so think about Calvary today. Think about the cross. Think about how the disciples felt, having followed Jesus, seeing all the miracles. Now standing there at the cross as Jesus breathed his last breath. Not only that, but listening to Jesus laboring as he's breathing, because the death on the cross was literally a death by suffocation. The groans of pain that they would have heard. And then the last cry as Jesus is on the cross when he says, "It is finished." All they would have heard is, "I am finished." Because all they saw that day on the cross was death. All they saw was a gruesome horror. The death of the Messiah. The death of Jesus. All they saw was not just shame and embarrassment, but they saw their Savior completely humiliated on the cross. Humiliation. They took that long walk home to a life that no longer existed. All they saw was humiliation. The King of Kings completely humiliated. And as they're leading him to the cross, they're hitting him. And they're saying, "Prophesy, who hit you?" Of course he knew who hit them. He knew them when they were in their mother's womb. The omnipresent, all-powerful God, all-knowing God. There they are, hanging on a cross. He's hanging on a cross made of wood, that cross. And he himself was the one who created it all in the very beginning. Completely humiliated as he hung on that cross. I think we look at that picture there that's on the screen. Now we know why he did it. But it's important to know that they didn't understand everything right there and then. They saw the humiliation only. Why did God step out of time and into time? for just 33 years for a three-year ministry, dying in the prime of his life at 33, a horrific and humiliating death, stripped naked in front of his critics and stripped naked in front of all of the believers. And Philip goes to this eunuch, and the eunuch's reading the Bible there. And he says, Philip hears, he said, I think this guy's reading the Bible. He walks up, he says, you know, what are you reading? He goes, do you understand what you're reading? He said, I don't understand. He was reading about the crucifixion of Jesus. We read it here in his humiliation. That's a great way to describe the cross. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Philip picked up from where the eunuch was reading and preached Jesus. Maybe he would have preferred to start at Bethlehem, or maybe to start in the manger or something, but he noticed where the eunuch was reading and he picked up right there at the humiliation of Jesus. Philip said, I am going to uncover the Messiah for you. I am going to begin with the greatest revelation that you could possibly have, the greatest revelation, and that is the glorious humiliation. The humiliation of Jesus Christ. You see, it's very easy to start with the greatness of God. It's very easy to start with the glory of God. It's very easy to start with his power and his majesty and his divine attributes and his wisdom and authority. But Philip began with the humiliation of Jesus. A glorious humiliation. You and I, we're called humans. Everybody say, human. Human beings and human doings. But the word human, look it up for yourself, comes from the Latin word humus, which means earth and ground. Humus is dirt. At the bottom of the forest floor, when you go to the forest floor and in the bush, and you look at all those leaves and sticks and all those things that are breaking down, it eventually goes to dirt again, and that is called humus. And we are called humans. So human comes from that Latin word humus, which means earth and ground, which goes back to the Bible. We are called humans because we were created from the dust or the dirt. The origin of man, dust thou art, and to dust we're going to return. If you're going to go dig someone up, Brother Maxwell, that's in that grave, you dig up their coffin, you're going to find dust after a little while. One little boy, he looked under his bed, Brother Alpha, he said, Mommy, 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 come here. Because he'd just been in church, he heard that we were created from dust and we're going to go back to dust when we die. He said, Mommy, Mommy, come in here. He said, look under my bed. Look at all the dust. She said, oh, it's very dusty there. He said, yeah, Mom, someone's coming or going. But human, the word human comes from the Latin word humus, which means dust. Humiliation also comes from that same root word, humus. That's why to be humiliated is to be put down. To be humiliated is to feel like dirt. And that's what some of you have even said, you know, that person makes me feel like dirt. They humiliate me. Or the ultimate of humiliation is to, when someone would say, eat dirt. I remember when I was playing football, you know, all those tackles and things like that. One of the things they used to do is sometimes when they would get up from the tackle, they'd put their hand on the back of your head and shove your face into the dirt. And plenty of times I got up off the ground with dirt in my mouth. But they wanted to show me who was boss by humiliating me, putting my face in the dirt. And so human comes from that word humus. Humiliation comes from that word humus. And I'm preaching today about the glorious humiliation. Because God himself robed himself in flesh. That was the beginning of his humiliation. God became man, the incarnation, the God who inhabits eternity that knows no beginning or end. He steps into time with rules, with limitations. From everlasting to everlasting, he makes himself subject to the clock. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of men. He who was in the form of God took on the form of a servant. Even from the moment that he was born, he was rejected. They said, there's no place in the inn. There they are, pointing the fingers and said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And so there Jesus is on the cross. Crucifixion was a way of completely humiliating a person. How humiliating to be betrayed by a friend, to be sold for silver. Prophet told to prophesy. They're yelling and saying, prophesy, who is it that hits you? Not only did he know who hit him, he watched their bones grow in their mother's womb. He knew their words before they even spoke. How humiliating to be hung on the very wood that he created. But there's something powerful. There's something glorious. There's something amazing about what happened on the cross. As humiliating as it was, we may look at it and see no hope. But I'm here to preach to you today that it was a glorious humiliation. In his humiliation, he surrendered everything that he was. Humiliated. When you go into the bush, or even in your garden somewhere where the leaves are all decomposing, and you put a shovel into the floor in the bush, and you pick up that shovel full of dirt, humus. It's the breaking down of all those living organisms. It's all broken down. But you know what? As you look at that dirt, as that person there is holding the hand full of dirt, when you look at that dirt, you don't see much beauty. You don't see much glory. It's humus. It's dirt. You can't see the glory and the beauty, but there is glory. There is beauty in that dirt. When you look at that dirt, you can't see that big stately cedar or that big glorious maple or that a big amazing gum tree. All you can see is dirt. Humus. But that humus, that dirt, is the gift of life for the future generation. For those that would come after, it is the gift of life. This is the glory of Jesus' humiliation. You see, when you go and plant a seed in that dirt, or when a bird flies over and drops a seed into that humus, what can come out of it is transforming. What can come out of it is glorious. What can come out of it is powerful. And the same is with us. Jesus was made humus for us. He was humiliated for us. But if we are planted into him, we can rise to new life. That is the glorious humiliation. That I was nothing. I was lost. I was lost in my sin. I was humiliated. I was wrecked. I was a wretch. I was rebellious against God. But when you are planted into Jesus Christ, when you are planted into his humiliation, when you are planted into what happened on the cross, you can rise to new life. That's the glory of his humiliation. It's when we are planted into his humiliation that we are raised to life. He made a way where there was no way. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 7 talks about this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? I just told you, his death was a humiliation. He was humiliated in his humiliation. And when you were baptized, you are baptized into his death. Look at this. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. When we are buried into him, that like as of Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted, woo! You got to be planted into that. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, and we learned what his death was like. It was a humiliation. And so when you are planted into the likeness of his death, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. His humiliation. He was made dirt so that we could have new life. It is what I want to call today a glorious humiliation. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. I was a wreck. Oh, I had wandered away. I had lost my way. Oh, but Jesus died on the cross for me. And when I am planted together with Him in the likeness of His death, then I can have new life. I'm talking about a glorious humiliation. He was made humus for me. And when you look at the cross, you see the humiliation. But the glory of the cross is that if we are planted in Him through baptism, our sins can be washed away. We can be made new. Everyone say made new. And so the sin which was passed to every generation that came all the way from Adam and Eve is washed away. That death is gone, and now we have new life in Jesus. You see, I want to be planted in His humiliation. We are planted into a life-giving Savior. That newness of life begins to happen. We begin to grow in God. That is the glory of His humiliation. Because of His death, I have life. Because of His sacrifice, I am free from my sins. Because of His humiliation, I can have a new beginning. If the musicians could come right now, will you be planted into His humiliation? The Bible says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. You see, we must apply what Jesus did at the cross to our life. He died, we must also die. We must die to our old life, and that is what repentance is. He was buried. We must also be buried in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name. He rose again, and we also have that wonderful promise of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit, God inside of us. I'm preaching tonight about the glorious humiliation. You see, when the world sees the cross, they see death, they see blood, they see humiliation. But when I see the cross, I see hope. I see life. I see the life-giving humus. If I would be planted in Him, I can have new life. If I would be planted in Him, I can grow like that stately cedar of Lebanon. I can grow new life. I can grow strength when I'm planted into Jesus. Let's all stand in this place today. That's the glorious humiliation. The glory of His humiliation is that when we are planted into the likeness of death, of His death, we can have newness of life. And so, when we are baptized, the Bible says, we are baptized into Christ. We are baptized into Christ, into His death. That's where our new life comes from. And if you've never been baptized, if you've never been planted into Him, I tell you, it's your time to be baptized. Maybe not today. Maybe you need another week or two to think about it. But if you're ready, God is ready to do work in your life. Let's lift our hands all across this place. Thank the Lord for the cross today. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the blood applied to our lives. Thank you, Lord, that we can be planted in You and have newness of life. Thank you, Jesus, that you were humiliated for us. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You shed Your life for us. Your blood was shed for us. You gave Your life up for us, oh God. You became a servant, King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just thank Him right now for the cross. Think, where would we be if it wasn't for the cross? I know where I'd be. I'd still be lost in my sin. I'd still be wandering, trying to find meaning in life, trying to find purpose. But I found it when I found my life in Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, Jesus. Oh, God. We love You, Jesus. This altar is open if you want to come and pray. Maybe you need to come and pray today and make a fresh commitment to Jesus. Maybe you need to come and pray and say, God, forgive me of my sin. Maybe you need to come and pray and say, God, I want to have that fresh touch from You, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I want to go back to the beginning or back to my first love. Lord, when I look at the cross and Your sacrifice, God, I want to make a fresh commitment to you today. Amen. We're gonna